Good morning again, my friends. This is David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, and yes, you are listening to Pebbles of Truth on WJCV Radio. Now, we ended last week looking at 2 Corinthians 13:5 and especially Colossians 1:27. Wow, Christ in you, hope of glory, which is the biblical definition of being birthed from above or born again or being saved. Now, we are actually one with Christ if we have surrendered ourselves to Him by faith. Let me say that again. We are actually one with Christ if we have surrendered ourselves to Him by faith. Paul goes deeper and cements this reality to the Corinthians and us in plain language in 1 Corinthians 1:30 through 31. But of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according to as it is written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. Now, this is not merely, you know, just rhetoric. Oh no, my friend, if we are in the faith that God gives us and we believe in reality that we possess the wisdom and the righteousness of God and are justified and being sanctified, then we have redemption only because we have Christ in us. We are in Him and He is all of these things and we are one with Him. So we too have the wisdom and righteousness of God. Again, please see that redemption is not merely a matter of God acting upon us and declaring us righteous. Oh no, it is much, much more. Now open up your spirit here, my friend. Redemption is God giving us Himself and making us one with Him through His dear Son, Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. Redemption is God giving us Himself and making us one with Himself through His Son. Yes, we are justified, declared righteous by faith, and all of the righteousness of Christ is imputed to us. But God likewise imparts to us the very life of His dear, precious Son, Jesus Christ. Now, this is Christianity, my friend. And spiritual growth is sanctification. Let me say that again. Spiritual growth is sanctification. It is the righteousness of Christ which we receive at conversion being made manifest in and through us to the world. It is all the result of Jesus in us and our surrender to Him by faith. We're all born into Adam. Everyone is born into Adam. Right now, every person on planet Earth is either in Adam or in Christ. In Adam, all die. In Christ, all are made alive. 1 Corinthians 15:22. Thus, one way to describe our need for Christ is to say that we need a way to be delivered out of Adam and into Christ. And my friend, there is only one way that God has provided, no matter what the mainstream denominations tell you. Oh no, only the cross of Jesus Christ delivers us out of Adam. Now, not the wooden structure that Jesus was impaled on, oh no, or the metallic or sometimes wooden cross that people wear around their neck, but the spiritual work that Christ did on the cross, by Him laying His life down as the one and only sacrifice, as He took upon Himself the sin of the world and consumed them, the world's sin, in His obedience to His Father and in His righteousness. And here is more good news. Man, don't you like good news? His resurrection on the third day, as He said, raises us up in Christ. Salvation is not possible unless we first come to the cross and surrender our Adam. Oh boy, that's good. Let me say that again. Salvation is not possible unless we first come to the cross and surrender our Adam. Then we are crucified with Christ. And if, that important word, if crucified with Christ, then we can be raised up with Christ in newness of life. But notice how Paul describes this reality and how it surpasses anything with a mere legal justification. One of my favorite verses, Paul writes in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the one and only faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, Paul is not talking about imputation here. He is talking about impartation, which is the result of our union with Christ. Christ tasted death for every man, but through our union with him in his death and resurrection, we are actually set free from sin and raised in newness of life. He is the vine and we are the branches, and not as legal decoration only, but as a living reality. You know, in God, the process of spiritual growth and development is know, believe, and experience. Let me say that again. The spiritual growth and development in our life is know, believe, and experience. Before we can be saved, we must realize or come to know that we are lost and in need of a Savior. Once we know, then we must believe. All that we get from God happens in faith as we believe. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Well, the word believe and faith are interchangeable, my friend. But we must believe. We must have faith to please God. So we must come to see or understand why justification by faith is so necessary. In Romans 3:19, Paul writes that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may be guilty before God. In effect, God's law is intended to show us we are helpless sinners. Wow. God's law is intended to show us that we all are helpless sinners. However, this is not what most Christians assume as the purposes of God's law. Most Christians think that God gave his law so that we would have a standard of, you know, righteousness to keep and be approved that as we keep it by God. But wait a minute. Are we not supposed to keep God's laws? Is not the law holy and just and good? Well, absolutely. There is everything right and good about the law of God. The law is holy and just and good. But the problem is, my friend, we are not. So every time we stand and face the law, we are shown to be unholy, unjust, and just downright bad. Indeed, if we really understand it, the more we try to keep God's law, the more we fall short, for we can never ever be good enough, never ever be perfect enough. So what is the answer? What is the solution? To just sin? Oh no, my friend, 1,000 times no. Or are we to say, well, God already tells us that we can't keep his law, so why bother trying? But I tell you now, my friend, this thinking is a new teaching that is now sweeping the church. But oh no, my friend, that is not good. If we have surrendered to Christ, now listen, if we have surrendered to Christ, then we are going to keep God's law. Let me say that again. If we have surrendered to Christ, then we are going to keep God's law. Christians are to live lives of holiness and obedience. That's right. Christians are to live lives of holiness and obedience. And this is always the outcome of faith in Jesus Christ. Holiness and obedience is always the outcome if Christ is in us, in holiness and faith. And you know, the outcome is always faith. Amen. More next week on justification by faith, and we will go ahead and we will get the answer you know, to the question that we were looking at. But yes, my friend, Christians are to live lives of holiness and obedience. And this is always, holiness and obedience is always, always, always the outcome of faith in Jesus Christ, because Christ is in us, the hope of glory. This has been David Stahl, hoping that you have a wonderful week to come. And I just don't say that just to say it, but I really mean that. But I'm trusting that the Lord is able to work in your life and show you these things that I've been sharing over these many months. So God bless, and look to sharing with you guys next week. God bless. Have a great week. Bye.